How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Would you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you now for each person here. And I ask, Lord, that on this Memorial Day weekend, that as our thoughts turn towards those who have died for us and the numbers of wars that we've fought for this land and fought for freedom and fought for truth and for righteousness, that we also remember how the Lord, our Savior, died for us as well. And now bless us, people, with these few thoughts. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. What it means to be died for. Now, you know that Memorial Day weekend is about remembering and honoring those soldiers who died for our freedom and for our liberty. That's what this is about. And again, I think it's so unfortunate that it's turned into a three-day weekend so that we've lost the day somewhere in all of this. And it's a vacation time and not much thoughts are really turned towards the intent of the day. In 1999, several senators proposed a bill to reverse the three-day weekend thing and move it back, the day back to whatever day it falls on, people would have a significant remembrance of honoring those who died for us. Most of us, they don't even know how to do that. Let me just throw a few ideas out. Wearing of a poppy is a particular, you remember the poem in Flanders Fields, where poppies blow between the crosses row and row that mark our place, and in the sky the lark still bravely singing flies scarcefield amid the guns below. Goes on to say, we are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, set sun, saw sunset glow, but now we lie on Flanders Fields. Flanders Fields is in Belgium. Flanders Fields is a U.S. military cemetery. There are 368 soldiers, American soldiers, buried there. And so this poem was written by John McCrae, added to in later years, to give an expression. In fact, the last verse is, to you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. And so it was the dead soldiers who gave their lives on the beaches and the battlefields of Europe to save American life and freedom and the honoring of God. And so there are several things. So we wear the poppy because the poppy is the flower that grows on Flanders Fields. And it's an interesting flower because it's one flower that each stem only has one flower on it, which is a significant thing in the agricultural world. So the wearing of the poppy was a good thing. I tried to buy some. I wanted to give everybody a poppy today and couldn't find any yesterday. But that's one thing we can do. Second thing is Congress established 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon as a voluntary time where we either listen to the taps or have a 1 minute silence, 3 o'clock tomorrow. Another thing that's done on Memorial Day is you could take your family and go to a cemetery and walk through it and look for those who died fighting for your freedom and for America, and read the tombstones and get the family to think about these serious things. Well, playing of the taps, of course, and reading of poetry and the singing of certain songs are a great way to celebrate this Memorial Day, remembering the death of those who died for us. So this morning, let's just kind of switch gears and I want to talk about from the scriptures on what it means to be died for. What it means to be died for. Now, this is a parallel track, as you'll see in a moment. The first track, of course, is that these soldiers have died for us. They took our place. They died for, they're still dying in Iraq, dying for American freedom today. And what does that mean? What should that mean to us? That's the question. And of course, the parallel track and the other track is the fact that Jesus died for us. And so the question before us this morning is, what does it mean? What does it mean to be died for? What should it mean? So take your notes. We're not going to be very long this morning, but I do want you to catch something significant. First of all, it means you have value. If somebody dies for you, it means they believe you have some intrinsic worth, that you are worth preserving. Oh, isn't that really good news? The soldiers that died in Normandy Beach, the soldiers that died in the Second World War, the soldiers in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the War on Terror. Now, these soldiers, their death proves that they believe that you have value. So the first thing it means to be died for, what it means to be died for is it means that you have value. So let's look at this. What the scripture says about this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Soldiers who give their lives and die for others want to die for good people. How would you, if you were the giver up of your life, if you were ready to die right now for people in America, what kind of people would you be willing to die for? I want to suggest that you would prefer to die for good people. You don't want to die for people who are going to perpetuate evil. You want to die for good people. So the first thing it means is that we have value, and the fact that these soldiers have died for us shows us that they still believe that America has a lot of good people worth dying for. It means you have value. Second, it means that you have potential. Even though you may not have as much value as someone who's dying wish you had, at least there's potential for you to be good, to be worth dying for. And so here is what the scripture says, that God commends his love toward us, and that, look at this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us just because we had value, because most of us had lost our value. We'd all, like sheep, had gone astray, gone the wrong direction. But he believes in the potential that you can be a forever wonderful person. So Jesus died for sinners. His death proves that you have potential. And so, not only Jesus, but the soldiers who died. And here again, keep these parallel tracks going. One's about the soldiers who died for us. The other is about the Lord from glory who died for us. It means we have potential. And then, it means that you're loved. When somebody dies for you, it means severely that you have been loved. There are a lot of signs of love that people love you. Of course, there's some superficial ones. We've been learning a lot about love of lately. But when somebody dies for you, it is the ultimate proof of love. Look at this. But God commends his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died. It proves that this is about love. Let's look at another verse. Greater love, there is no greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for a friend. And so, that is a wonderful evidence of what it's like to be died for, what it should mean to be died for. It means that you're loved. So not only did Jesus do this for us, but we're taught, ought we not to lay our lives down for one another and love? When a husband loves his wife, there's a willingness to lay down his life. If it came, and heaven forbid this would ever occur, but if it ever got in a situation where it's her life or mine, mine's the first one to go. My job, my task, my love says, if I love her, I lay my life down to protect her. That's what a husband does for a wife. That's what a father does for children. He will go through all kinds of adversity. He will suffer all kinds of disdain and mocking. But he wants his family safe. He wants his wife safe. And he's willing to lay down his life, his reputation, and willing to take censorship, willing to take punishment, to lay down his life for those to love. Because when someone lays their life down for you, it means you are loved. And in no greater way is this demonstrated than when Jesus, the Master, laid down his life for us. And then, if someone lays down their life for you, it means you should have been dead. In other words, it was you or them, and they chose to die so you could live. You should have been dead. If our soldiers in American history had not died for us, we would not have survived as a people. Our enemies would have destroyed us. Now, let's look at the scripture. The love of Christ constrains us because we judge, we adjudicate, we figure out, we have the logic behind us. That if one died for all of us, then all of us, unless they had died for us, we'd all have been dead. That's the plain instruction of this verse. And so, what does it mean to be died for? It means that we should have been dead. You know, isn't that the essence of what Jesus came to do? He died that you might live. He died that you might live. He wants you to live eternally. So what does it mean to be died for? Oh, it means you're loved. It means you have value. It means you have potential. And it means that you should have died, but somebody took your place so you wouldn't have to die. And that's true of the soldiers, and it's true of our Lord. And then it means that we should be changed. When you realize that somebody died for you, now just think about it for a moment, because ultimately in a few moments, let me bring it to you now. Everybody in this room has been died for. That's a solemn idea. You have been died for. By soldiers, the heroes of American history, and by Christ Himself. Is there anybody in here that hasn't been died for? So, having been died for should affect us. It should let us know that we've been loved. It should let us know that we have value. It should let us know that we have potential. It should let us know that we should have died, but now we're alive. All of a sudden we're alive because somebody else died for us. I've been died for. And so, it means that since I've been died for, that I should live differently now than I otherwise would have. Doesn't that make sense? If somehow we could move this from the great generality in which I'm speaking and the big historical setting I've been giving it to a microcosm in time where somebody left the auditorium this morning and some atrocious act was about to happen and there was a bullet firing coming your way, and somebody purposely stepped in front of the bullet, took it for you, and you lived and they died. How ought we to be changed by the knowledge that somebody died for us? Would you just glibly get up and go your way and do whatever stupid thing was intended? Or would there be something sacred about it? Would there be something solemn about it? Would there be something moving about it? Would there be gratefulness exuding from your soul? Would you say thanks if you could, that we're still living? What would you do? What does it mean to be died for? How should being died for impact our lives? That's the question. I think that when you've been died for, it should change our lives. Look at the scripture. He died. Jesus died for all of us. Here's why. That they which live should not henceforth live the way they used to live. But they should live, now watch this, they should live unto Him which died for them. They should live in memory of the person who died for them, who took their place. They should live with some values changed, where that person that died for me, what would they want me to be doing because I owe them? Big time. And so, it should change us to realize that we've been died for. And then it means you have a future. Isn't that good? It means you have a future. Cool. Here we are talking about, let's do the parallel track here. If soldiers had not died for these United States of America, let me make it personal. If these soldiers had not died for the people of the United States of America, let me make it even more personal. That if these soldiers had not died for you and I, we wouldn't have a future like we have. To be died for means you got a future that you otherwise wouldn't have had. Now let's go to the second of the parallel tracks. The soldiers died. And here's Christ, the Lord of glory. He died for us. Took your place. Paid for your sin. God. Why? That whether we're alive or waiting for the resurrection, we should live together with Him. It means He's got a future for you. This is really big news. God says, I know the plans I have for you. He got big plans for you. He doesn't want your life wasted. He doesn't want you desecrated. He doesn't want you destroyed. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. How could you have this great future life if you had to die for yourself? When you start to think about what it means to be died for, the implications and the ramifications are immense. It means we have a future. And it means that we should encourage one another. He died for us so we could live together with Him. And so look at this. For this reason, start comforting yourselves together. And start edifying one another. What does this mean? It means that since you've been died for, you've got a really bright future, and so have those others who've been died for, and you need to start living in great enthusiasm about, whoa, somebody died for me, and here I am. It ought to remove depression and ought to give you, it ought to put iron down your backbone. I mean, it ought to make you smile. It ought to make you stretch your limbs and shout for joy and get up and get going because somebody died for you and you should have died for yourself, but you didn't. Somebody died for you. And we need to be telling each other how this whole new life opens up based on the fact that we've been died for. Makes a difference. And then, it means we're not our own. You see, we should have died. Soldiers shouldn't have had to take the bullets for us, the grenades, the bombs, the gas. It means that since we've been died for, that we owe something. We owe something. We owe something. Because we've been redeemed. We've been paid for. Somebody gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. Not just the soldiers, but here we speak on the parallel tracks. Once again, of Jesus Christ, who died for us. And look at this now. You are not your own. Watch this now. For you are bought with a price. You're not your own. I don't belong to me anymore. Because somebody died for me. I should have been dead. So now this life that I live since I've been died for is based on a whole different foundation than I otherwise would have had. I don't have the option now of just wasting my life. I don't have the option of just messing myself and other people up. I don't have any option about being evil anymore because somebody died for me. And now I don't belong to myself anymore because somebody paid the supreme price for me. And whether it was soldiers as it was, though they knew us not in person, or whether it was Jesus Christ who did know us in person, when you've been died for, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. Then it does mean we belong to somebody else. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. How you use your body, what you do with your body, is impacted by the fact that you've been died for. How you use your spirit is impacted by the fact that you've been died for. And now look at this. Because we are now God's. And what that simply means is that, and this is the best phrase I know, and you should write this somewhere in your notes, the redeemed belong to the Redeemer. Redeemed belong to the Redeemer. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. So now we are God's. And lastly, it means that we should use our future freedom to love. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. How did he do that? By dying for us. Made us free. Just like soldiers died for us so we could have freedom, liberty. So let's make sure that we don't get entangled with the stuff. Now watch this. For brothers, we've been called unto liberty. Now watch this. How you use liberty is important. Do not use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use it to do rotten things with your flesh. But use liberty by love to serve one another. What does it mean to be died for? I want more than anything else today for everyone here to realize that being died for should significantly impact our lives. In order to help us understand that, I want us to ponder. I've got a couple of short video clips I want you to see. But then we in turn live and give ourselves. Remember, being died for is proof that you're loved. Proof that you have value. Proof that you have potential. Be died for.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.